I got a job in my 20s as a storage worker in a local warehouse. It was located on the side of a highway at the end of the town, next to nothing. We always joked about the location and why the owners of the company chose to build the huge warehouse in such a remote, empty area of the town, out of the way of everything. It was probably just cheap land, with easy transport from the highway, but it still always felt a little odd to be pulling into a large empty parking lot in the middle of nowhere every night. I always worked overnights with one of my coworkers, who I'll keep anonymous and call him Tyler. Our job was to break down and organize the shipments from the day and move them to their respective place in the warehouse to be stored. Once you do it for a couple of weeks, it becomes very repetitive, easy work that I do while half asleep most nights. Tyler and I were the only two overnight workers, so some days we would be working alone. This happened during Tyler's vacation week, so I was alone at the warehouse from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. every night. It was a Wednesday night, and right away, there was something weird when I pulled in. A car was parked in the far corner of this massive empty parking lot. Its lights were off, and nobody seemed to be around it, but being all the way out here on private property was very sketchy. I parked next to the entrance door and went inside, then called the cops to come down and have a look. I thought it was probably just some teenagers, or a broken down car from the highway, but it was on private property, and the fact that it was parked in the far corner just gave me a weird feeling. 20 minutes later, cops came to the front door and told me that the car was empty with no signs of anybody nearby. They were pretty sure it was broken down too, so we got a tow truck to come down and take it away, and then I got back to work. I moved several shipments, which probably took me around an hour, before I was interrupted by a loud bang at the front of the building. I quickly walked down and turned on the front lights, then walked up to the door. A man was standing behind the glass, staring at me with his fist on the door, and looked extremely tired and exhausted. I went closer and talked through the glass.
"Are you okay? What are you doing here? This is private property."
The man stared at me with this disgusted look.
"Where's my car?"
he shouted, banging on the door. I tried to explain, but he kept interrupting me and getting more aggressive, screaming at me to let him inside the building. I threatened to call the cops on him, finally getting him to be quiet. He backed up and gave me one more crazy look before walking away. As I went back to work, I couldn't stop thinking about where that man could have been all this time. I thought maybe he went to a gas station to get a canister for his car, but there's no way he could have walked all the way there and back. And if he got a ride, then he would have been back before the car got towed. I really just couldn't think of anywhere the man could have been that would make sense. Only a few minutes into working again, another bang came from the front door. I was both frustrated and scared, but when I looked through the glass, I was not expecting to see the same cops that were here earlier. They said they got a call from the tow company about some concerning things on the outside of the trunk that I guess nobody noticed beforehand. They questioned me about everything I saw, and I told them about the man who'd come by looking for his car. They left soon after that, and I didn't get any real updates until later in the week, when the cops came back with search dogs to search the forest around the warehouse. Supposedly, they found dried blood on the back of the bumper, and once they got a warrant to search it, they found even more blood inside of the trunk. They believe the man may have possibly come out to bury a body in the forest near the warehouse, but to my knowledge, they never found any significant evidence. However, the man never went to claim his car from the tow company, and he never showed up again. He just disappeared. It's really unnerving to know how close I was to a possible murderer, and for the last couple years working at the warehouse, I'd get really creeped out when working nights alone. I know it wasn't likely, but it would always be in the back of my mind that the man might come back and try to make me pay for what I did. I was doing DoorDash late one night, trying to get some extra money for savings. It wasn't too busy, but I was getting a few orders here and there to make it worth my while. A little after 1 a.m, an order came in for a customer 30 minutes away. It was a long drive, but the payout was good enough for me to accept it. I drove to the restaurant, some local Korean place that looked expensive, then started heading to the house. By the end of the route, it started taking me into a pretty bad part of town. I'd been here before with no problems, but as I drove through and looked at all the rundown houses, I started getting uncomfortable. When I got to the address, I parked on the side of the road. It was a very small, old house with a cracked and destroyed driveway. I got out of my car and started walking up to the porch with the bag. Right as I was going to set the bag down, my phone rang.
Hello?
After getting no response, I hung up and quickly finished the delivery and hurried back to my car. As I turned my car on and buckled up, I heard the front door to the house swing open. I looked over and saw a woman waving her arms in the air and running toward my car, screaming at me to wait. It was so bizarre, I was too frozen to react. She ran up to my window and started banging, asking me to help her. I still had no idea what was going on, but I opened the window a crack and asked what she needed. She said her 3-year-old daughter was inside struggling to breathe and that I needed to help her. The woman started going back up the driveway and begged me to come help. Still in a confused state of shock, I got out of my car and started to follow her. But as I did, I noticed her get quiet and less panicky. I started thinking more now that the situation was less chaotic and sudden and realized how strange this was.
"Have you called 911 yet?"
I asked, stopping on the driveway. She turned around, and it was like her tears and panic were gone. She said there was no time, and started to very obviously pretend to panic again. It looked more like a crackhead having a mental breakdown, not a worried mother. I immediately ran back to my car as she continued screaming, and even ran back down the driveway to the passenger door, and started trying to open it. I turned the car back on and reversed as she tried to run in front of my car to come to my side. Once I was clear, I put it in drive and went around her, and in that second that I passed the house again, I saw a large figure standing in the upstairs window, watching the whole thing. As soon as I got out of the neighborhood, I dialed 911 and told them the address and situation. When I got a call back from the police, they told me that the woman had a different story, saying she only came out to give me a cash tip. They also noted that she lived alone, with no record of having any kids or adults living with her. This only made me more horrified about the situation, but after talking some more with the officer, it was clear that nothing could be done. There was no proof for either of our stories, and trying to press charges would be a pointless battle. On top of this, the officer seemed tired and not in the mood to deal with anything, but I knew he was right about me not being able to do much, so it was all left as that. In my gut, I know that she was trying to get me inside the house for dark reasons, especially knowing that she had no kids. The scariest part of it, after knowing everything, was seeing that person inside the house watching us, and knowing that he was eerily waiting for me to enter the home. I worked at a 24/7 fast food restaurant a few years back when I was in college. The job wasn't fun or enjoyable in any way, and most of my coworkers were middle-aged people with no personalities. I was doing school online though, which meant I had more time to work, so I was cranking out 40 hours a week at least, and even got a promotion to shift lead after a few months. What I didn't realize when I took the promotion was that I was signing to officially be a full-time employee, which meant that they could make me work any shift. Not even a week into it, they put me as overnight, and I couldn't even argue it. Overnights were a pain in the ass because I'd be the only one there, so if the drive-thru got backed up, then I'd be hustling non-stop without any breaks. On the flip side, though, sometimes it would be completely dead, and I'd just be standing around all night on my phone. This was one of those nights. I was in the back of the kitchen, sitting on a pile of boxes and scrolling through my phone, just trying to pass the time, when my headset rang to alert me that a customer was in the drive-thru. I got up and went to the computer, then asked what they would like to order. Nobody said anything, so I turned and looked up at the drive-thru camera, and the lane was empty. No cars in the drive-thru, or even in the parking lot around the restaurant. The system never really falsely beeps like that, though. There was a slight storm outside, so I figured a raindrop or a flash of light must have tripped the sensor somehow. I stayed by the drive-thru window for a few minutes, and my headset beeped again. This time I quickly looked at the cameras and caught a man walking past the drive-thru lane. He was wearing a thick hoodie and a face covering, but quickly walked out of the camera's view. Where the restaurant was, there wasn't anywhere else he could have parked or walked from unless he was walking on the side of the main road. I watched the cameras to see if he'd come back, but after 10 minutes of no activity, I just went back to my phone. 15 more minutes went by before I got another beep, and when I checked the cameras, that same man was there, but this time he was standing in the drive-thru lane.
"Can I help you, sir?"
After a moment, he started reciting an order for a small meal. I wasn't supposed to serve people in the drive-thru unless they were in a vehicle, so I told him I couldn't accept his order. He stood there, letting the rain soak him as he just looked at the screen and didn't speak. I thought about telling him to leave, but I didn't want to escalate things if I didn't have to, so I just waited. After a minute, he started walking down the drive-thru lane toward the side of the restaurant where the window was. I rushed over and latched the window shut, and not even a second later, the man appeared outside. He had his hood and mask still on, but he looked to be in his late 40s with long black hair and a dead look in his eyes. He watched me through the window and stood outside like he was waiting for me to talk to him. There was something about his look that really freaked me out and kept me from speaking. Then he softly said,
"Open up."
I nervously said no and just stayed where I was while the man continued looking at me. He asked again and knocked on the window, but after a few seconds, he turned, and as he walked away, a loud scraping sound ran along the side of the building. I checked the cameras to make sure he left, and luckily, he didn't come back. During the next hour of my shift, though, I was thinking about that scraping sound. I decided to take out the trash to the dumpster and take a quick look. On the side of the wall, under the drive-thru window, was a long scratch, looking like it was made from a knife dragging along the building. I called the police after that, but the man couldn't be identified from the grainy camera footage mixed with the heavy rain and fog. The man never turned up, and I'll never know exactly what he was planning on doing that night, but seeing as he had a knife ready in his hand, I assume that if I had taken his order and opened that window, then that would have been the last thing I would have ever done.